My name is Joker Jaire. I'm a PhD student at UC Berkeley. And today I'm going to talk to you about our latest project on leveraging serverless platforms for end-to-end ML workflows. This is joint work with Pedro Fonseca from Purdue University, Alexei Tumanov from Georgia Tech, and Andrew Zhang and Randy Katz from UC Berkeley. Machine learning is a key dominant workload in today's cloud. And it spans many applications, from self-driving cars to image classification, text categorization, and even shopping recommendations. But it turns out that end-to-end ML workflows are extremely complex. Data scientists do not just work on a single task, but actually on a sequence of three basic heterogeneous stages. In the first stage, data set preprocessing, the data scientist tries different data transformations on the data set to make it more amenable for model training. In the second stage, model training, the data scientist tries different models to find one that can fit the data set with reasonable performance. And when the data scientist is comfortable with a model, he or she can take that model's performance even further with hyperparameter tuning. We make the observation that these end-to-end ML workflows are both interactive and iterative. Interactive because these stages stem from the interaction between the data scientist and the tools it uses, he or she uses. The data scientist tries different data set preprocessing methods, different models, different hyperparameter tuning strategies. And they are also iterative because the data scientist goes nuts, going back and forth between the different stages, trying to figure out which strategies work and which do not for the particular problem at hand. However, provisioning these end-to-end ML workflows is extremely challenging. First, it's very hard to accurately estimate the resource demands of each individual stage of the workflow. And secondly, data scientists have machine learning expertise. They do not necessarily understand or can reason about resource consumption at the level of individual CPUs, memory, and storage. And this leads to two problems. First, data scientists spend too much time on complex infrastructure management tasks, which detracts from the actual machine learning work. And secondly, it leads to resource waste because developers and data scientists end up over-provisioning resources. Fortunately, serverless computing is a new emerging paradigm for developing on the cloud and is poised to address many of these challenges. In serverless computing, developers write single functions which get instantiated into small containers called lambdas. When the functions run within lambdas, they can leverage external storage systems like AWS S3 for their inputs and outputs. And serverless computing is widely popular and available today. All the major cloud providers have some sort of serverless offerings, and there's even popular open source serverless platforms like OpenNewisk and OpenFaS. There are two key benefits that serverless computing can have for end-to-end ML workflows. The first one is to give us the ability to tightly provision resources for each individual stage of the workflow, and the second is to be able to radically simplify infrastructure management. And there's a few properties of serverless that are going to help us achieve these two benefits. To achieve tight provisioning of resources, we can leverage the fact that in serverless computing, lambdas are built at very fine granularities of time, in the order of 100 milliseconds. Lambdas have very fine-grained resources. Today, lambdas can have at most 3 gigabytes of memory and 500 megabytes of storage. And serverless computing platforms are highly scalable. Developers can launch thousands of lambdas in a matter of a few seconds. To simplify infrastructure management, we can leverage the fact that today many infrastructure management tasks, like resource configuration, provisioning, maintenance, are actually delegated to the cloud providers. However, many of the fundamental properties that makes serverless so scalable, flexible, and agile actually make it more complex to implement end-to-end ML on serverless. First challenge, serverless Lambdas have small local memory and storage, which means that frameworks that are very memory intensive or that are not designed for these highly memory constrained environments are not going to be able to run on Lambdas. Second, Lambdas have low bandwidth in the order of 70 megabytes per second and no peer-to-peer communication. And this rules out many widely used communication patterns for machine learning, like ring reduces and tree reduces. Third, for doing efficient communication between Lambdas, which is necessary for machine learning, we need low latency, high throughput serverless storage. And unfortunately today, there is no storage with such properties. Fourth, Lambdas are short-lived and have unpredictable launch times, which means that frameworks for serverless need to be able to tolerate sudden arrival and departure of workers. And last, the code that gets deployed into the Lambdas is limited in size, which means that frameworks that have many dependencies have to resort to the strategy of deploying a small runtime that then downloads the rest of the dependencies from S3 or from other system, which adds very high invocation overheads. Now, you might ask the question, or you might think there are two natural approaches for actually doing end-to-end ML workflows on serverless platforms. The first approach is to take existing serverless frameworks and try to build ML on top. And the second approach is to take existing machine learning frameworks and try to adapt them to run on serverless platforms. And I'm going to show you why this is pretty much impossible or requires very significant architectural changes. In terms of serverless frameworks, there's a number of open source frameworks today, such as Coral, PyRAN, FastJS, and these suffer from a host of problems. First, because the packages that get deployed into Lambdas are limited in size. Some of these frameworks have to download the rest of dependencies from external storage systems, which adds invocation overheads. None of these frameworks provide an efficient storage service, which means that developers have to resort to high latency communication through S3, or they have to deploy and manage themselves some efficient storage system. And last, because Lambdas have unpredictable launch times, and some of these frameworks do not handle such cases, they end up suffering from stragglers. Now let's think about machine learning frameworks. What if we were to take TensorFlow or Apache Spark and try to adapt those frameworks to run on serverless platforms? We would encounter the following problems. Because Lambdas have small memory, such frameworks would not be able to run on Lambdas. We have tried them ourselves, and these frameworks use a lot of memory, and they just cannot run inside these Lambdas. The second problem is because there's no peer-to-peer communication. Common communication patterns like driver-to-worker communication, ring and tree reduces, are not possible in these platforms. And last, because of unpredictable launch times of Lambdas, this precludes popular communication frameworks like MPI that power many machine learning systems like Boson from CMU. To bring the benefits of serverless to end-to-end ML workflows, we built a system called Cirrus. Cirrus has a set of design principles, and the first subset of principles is aimed at addressing the serverless challenges that I've just mentioned. To solve the problem of low memory and limited package size, Cirrus has an ultra-lightweight runtime, and it prefetches data from external storage to make to avoid having all the data inside the Lambdas at all points in time. To solve the problem of no peer-to-peer communication and no fast storage, Cirrus provides its own high-performance data store with parameter server and key-value store APIs. To solve the problem of short lifetimes and unpredictable launch times, Cirrus handles robustly, by design, sudden arrival and departure of Lambdas. The second subset of principles is aimed at achieving the benefits we want for end-to-end ML, namely tight provisioning of resources and radical simplification of infrastructure management. To achieve tight provisioning of resources, Cirrus uses per-stage, fine-grained, variable, agile scalability, which means that Cirrus can realize how many resources are needed per stage of the workflow and just provisioning those resources. And to simplify infrastructure management, Cirrus provides a high-level API for the data scientist that supports all the different stages of the workflow, pre-processing, model training, and tuning. The Cirrus architecture is divided into pieces. The first piece is the client side that is user facing, and the second piece is server side that runs on the serverless platforms. On the client side, the data scientist can interact with Cirrus through a high-level Python API within the client frontend, and this Python API is divided in three modules: the pre-processing module, training module, and tuning module. Depending on the command that the data scientist issues on Cirrus, the client frontend is going to create tasks within the client backend. And those tasks within the client backend are going to translate into invocations of Lambdas on a serverless platform. The client backend is highly scalable. We can run thousands of concurrent Lambdas and hundreds of concurrent experiments. And while these tasks are running, while the data scientist is running these tasks or stages, the data scientist can observe the progress of individual stages on a dashboard. And I want to illustrate how the dashboard looks like here. This is what it looks like when the data scientist is doing hyperparameter tuning. Here the data scientist from within the Jupyter notebook can see the test loss over time for different experiments. It can also see how much it costs to run this workload, how many Lambdas are running, and the data scientist can even zoom in into an individual experiment and kill that experiment if the convergence is not good. So that's the client side. Now the client side talks with the server side, where the components are going to run on the serverless platforms. The first component is the Cirrus runtime that is going to run within each Lambda. And the Cirrus runtime is going to implement a number of out-of-the-box machine learning algorithms, such as sparse logistic regression, matrix factorization, LDA, and so on. These algorithms are going to use the Cirrus data iterator API to get training data from external storage. And here, the data iterator API is going to leverage the fact, or the insight, that these machine learning algorithms, namely SGD training, does not require a specific ordering of training data. And so it can be prefetched into the mini batch buffer within the runtime to hide the latencies to access that remote data. These algorithms are going to access the Cirrus data store, the second component, through a data store client API. And the data store exports two specialized APIs, one for model training, the parameter server API, and one for inter-Lambda communication and for other needs to store intermediate data. We did the data store that is horizontally scalable. We can store models, key values, and for the parameter server, we have different optimization methods to train models. Now, I want to show that Cirrus can provide the performance benefits because it specializes both for end-to-end ML workflows and also for serverless. And here I'm going to show that by presenting an evaluation comparing Cirrus against Pyran, a popular serverless framework. To do this evaluation, we deployed Cirrus and Pyran on AWS Lambdas, and we used the largest Lambdas with 3 gigabytes of memory because that gives us the highest compute performance. The benchmark we ran was an asynchronous distributed SGD sparse logistic regression task on the criteria data set, a data set of display ads. And in this workload, what we are doing here is computing the probability of a specific ad to be clicked. For Pyran, we started with a very simple baseline, iterative synchronous SGD training, and we used AWS S3 as a parameter server store, if you will, where we store the gradients and the model that is being trained. But because we want to push the performance as much as possible with the Pyran framework, we added 3 incremental optimizations. For Cirrus, we tried two modes, one with data prefetching and one without prefetching. And here I'm going to show what is the test loss of this model training with Cirrus and Pyran over time. So lower test loss is better. So this is the Pyran baseline running synchronous SGD. And we can see that the test loss curve has this staircase pattern because Pyran is going to suffer from stragglers. Because every iteration we're going to launch Lambdas, we have to wait for all of the Lambdas to do their work. And Pyran is going to suffer from stragglers. If instead, for every Lambda invocation, we do multiple SGD iterations, and we add asynchronous SGD, we can push the performance even further and get a lower test loss. If we use sparse gradients to mitigate the communication overheads with the external storage system with S3, and we prefetch the training data, we can push the performance even further. And if we replace AWS S3 with a high-performance data store like Redis, we can get even a little bit more performance. And if we add cumulatively these three incremental optimizations, we get an improvement of 700x updates per second. However, even with these optimizations, it doesn't come nowhere near as close as with Cirrus without training data prefetching, where we get 10x more updates per second. And with training data prefetching, we can get another 10x of performance improvement. In conclusion, end-to-end ML workflows are extremely challenging because they require expensive and time-consuming infrastructure management tasks that the data scientist has to do. And developers and data scientists tend to over-provision resources. To solve these problems, we built Cirrus, a serverless end-to-end ML workflow that radically simplifies deployment of these types of workflows, and it does per-stage provisioning of resources. Cirrus outperforms existing serverless solutions because it specializes both for serverless and machine learning. And we have open-sourced our system on the following GitHub link. Please check if you're interested on that. And thank you. I'm going to take questions now.
Well, thank you so much for the great talk. We now are taking questions, but before we take questions, I'd like to invite the next speaker to come to the podium. Do we have any questions? Okay.
Yeah, thanks for the great talk. I was just wondering if you have any data that shows how much over-provisioning is happening when people use these other frameworks that you mentioned, as this is part of the motivation for this work?
Right. We don't have any specific number, but we motivate with there's a easy way of seeing this. When you're training a single model, you need X resources. When you're doing hyperparameter tuning with 100,000 different parameter configurations, you use 100,000 more resources than in model training. So that's the motivation for the work.
So one of the question the challenge you mentioned was the P2P communication between serverless lambdas because they are behind the NAT. So I'm just kind of curious, how did you guys solve that problem?
Right. So we provide we solve that problem by providing an high performance data store with those APIs for model training and for other needs, and it's high performance and allows us to do those types of communications efficiently.
Great. So do we have any other questions?
Right. So you talk about the data store, and it seems that prefetching data into memory or a server that you control versus S3 gives you a great performance. Right? I'm just curious, how much do you have to pay that in terms of cost? Because if you're running in the cloud, everything's money. So it comes at a price. And then how scalable is that data store, right? Are we talking, can your data store handle petabytes of data, which S3 is designed for?
Right, that's a good question. So we don't use the data store for training data. So when you're running these types of workloads, most of the data is training data, hundreds of gigabytes, terabytes, or even more of training data. That is on S3. And so we prefetch that data from S3. We use the high-performance Cirrus data store for much smaller data, for models, hundreds of megabytes, for intermediate results when you're doing data set preprocessing and you have to compute intermediate results. That's much smaller. So we don't need the type of scalability of S3. The other advantage is because the Cirrus data store is highly integrated with the rest of the system, and it's managed by Cirrus, we can actually scale it up and down as needed too. So the data scientist doesn't have to provision or maintain the data store.
Thank you. So we have time for one last question before we go to the next presentation.
Thank you very much. This was really great work. So I have one question. Does your serverless function backend support offloading computations to GPUs? Because that's what like machine learning scientists are really interested in using.
All right, that is a good question. We haven't tried GPUs. Naturally, we have thought about that. There's a host of other problems if you put GPUs into the picture. Other system challenges that are very interesting, but we haven't explored that that space.
Yeah, thank you so much. Let's give another round of applause to the speaker.